All right, this is the National Finance Committee meeting, regular meeting scheduled for November 26th, 2019. Having a quorum present, we're going to go ahead and take the roll. Mr. Secretary.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Nick Arena. Fred Blair.
Here.
Chris Corey.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Lyndon Foley.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Mansoor Sabah. James Sagerton. Nancy Sorden. Tamara Swiderski.
Here.
Okay, that's seven. Quorum.
All right. Wonderful. Okay, so let's see. I'm going to quickly read the agenda, which was unfortunately still going through revisions up until the last few minutes before the meeting. So convene meeting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Roll call. Approve agenda. Minutes approval, 5 minutes. For 10-22-19, did I get the right a date right this time, R. Paul?
Yeah.
Okay. Report from ICFO. I should have probably put report and discussion, but Tamara generally only takes 5 to 10 minutes to report, so that'll leave the remainder of that 30-minute time to discuss. Sustainability motion that was presented by Bill Crozier last time, 2 weeks ago, move forward to this agenda, and then adjourn to executive session at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Any changes that anybody would like to make to that? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as presented? Hearing none, go ahead.
You have, after that, you have returned from executive session by 9:15 Eastern Time.
That's not the latest version, Arpal. I deleted items 8 through 10, really, 8 through 11.
Okay. Oh, all right.
So it just stops with adjourn to executive session at 8:30 p.m. I didn't know whether that was the standard to follow or not.
Yeah.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any further objections to the agenda as presented? Hearing none, we are on to minutes approval for 10-22-19. Would you like to move to approve the minutes, R. Paul?
1 second. Yeah, I move to approve the minutes of the October 22nd NFC meeting.
Right. Are there any objections to approving the minutes from October 22nd, 2019, NFC? Hearing none, the minutes are approved. Next up, thank you, Tamara, for your hard work and for being here tonight. I really appreciate it. This P&L is, it's just making, it's given me a lot to think about, and I would appreciate it if you could dive in and present it and then take questions from us.
Sure. And I know that this just went out, so I know there'll be some questions later on as you kind of digest it. So I will just kind of hit some high points. As I, mentioned earlier, the 18 audit is still going on. There will probably be some audit entries that have not been entered here. One example that I can think of off the top of my head is pension costs. It looks like about halfway through 18 that there was a pension accrual that was being made for 2% of the gross salaries that stopped being made. So we did go back and put that into the 19 numbers, and so there will be an entry for 18 that's not considered here that will add that in. So I know there will be some changes to the 18 numbers. We did change a little bit of the presentation. Previously, the depreciation costs had been in the administrative line, and then they were kind of subtracted out below the line. We took them out of the administrative line and just kind of did a regular net income and then net income with depreciation. So you may notice that slight change. Overall, we're looking at net operating loss without depreciation for FY18 at $251,000. This is for the consolidated, for Pacifica as a whole, and FY19 at $422,000. So an increase in the loss of $171,000 year over year. Revenue was fairly close. It went up about $400,000. From 18 to 19, that does include the bequest that between P&O and BAI, there was about $750,000 there. So without that, it would have been a loss in their normal operations of about $350,000. Expenses were up about $567,000. Some of that is in personnel, and some of that is in board election costs. We have 2 years worth of expenses for that in FY19. Let's see. Overall revenue, we had listener support was down about $1 million compared to FY18. As I said, there was an increase in major donor, of about $1.5 million. The bequest mentioned, and there were some other gifts throughout the year. Then I have some breakdowns by station, if you guys would like to hear that. Total revenue, KPFA, was up $88,000 over FY18. KPFK up $389,000. KPFT up about $100,000. Oh, sorry, down about $100,000. WBAI was down about $80,000, and WPFW was down about $260,000, but they did have a grant in FY18 for about $130,000, so that would have been about half of that difference. In national office, had an increase of about $480,000, which was probably due to that bequest. Expenses overall increased about $500,000. KPFAs were about the same as the prior year. KPFK was up $423,000. KPFT up $175,000. WBAI up $319,000. WPFW up $32,000. And National Office up $373,000. A large portion of that looks like was personnel at about $580,000. Let's see, we have the board election expenses that I mentioned. Admin overall was up about $100,000. Programming expenses were down, which looks to be related to a reclassification of tower expenses. So there could be something wonky there with how the tower expenses are treated with the loan, with the settlement coming off and the loan coming on. There could be something that will be affected by the audit there. Let's see, we have development increases, which went down about $175,000. Special event expenses went down about $111,000. That brings us back to our net income losses, net income or loss without depreciation. So KPFA is for 2019 at $198,000 versus $109,000, that's income. KPFK is at a loss of $150,000 versus $115,000 for 2018. KPFT, a loss of $122,000. Versus income of $153,000 in the prior year. WBAI, loss of $703,000 versus a loss of $943,000 in 2018. WBFPFW, a loss of $266,000 versus a gain of $27,000. I think that about covers it very quickly. As I said, I know there'll be a lot of detailed questions that you probably can't even wrap your head around right now. But if anybody has sees something that they want me to try to answer, I'll be glad to.
Okay, so we'll take a stack for questions. Who would like to be on that stack?
Arpal.
Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay. Well, you said something about the tower expense being different or something. What is that? And where is that?
Well, I noticed, let me see if I can find where it is right now. For WBAI, there's some odd looking transactions that I think were made in relation to booking the loan or write-off of. I'm trying to find it in the document right now. And it would be a question for George Walter. So it's actually in the 18 numbers. It's line 90 of the WBAI, columns K and L. There's a large negative number and then a large positive number, which are unrelated to tower rent, that are skewing something there.
This is line 90.
That's the WBAI tab.
I have everything. I have E going to R. Everything in between that is hidden.
Okay. Yeah, you can, if you know how you can unhide those, then it'll give you the month by month.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll give you the, sorry about that, the month by month for FY18.
How do you show those?
If you put your cursor over the two columns, so like E and R, and then right click and do unhide, it should show you those, which will give you the month by month for FY18.
Yeah, this is Open Office, so it's slightly different, and I've done it before.
Oh, gotcha.
And I just have
sorry.
The print is
show columns.
Fine.
It's called show columns. And Bill for the stack when you get to another question.
Okay. Thank you, Bill.
And Fred for the stack.
Okay, Fred. Got you on there. Arpal, are you still in a holding pattern?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll find it in here somewhere.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I see some of the cells are blank in some of the worksheets, and are these? I mean, we should be having accruals, but I'm guessing maybe this is actually paid expenses or something, or because some of these shouldn't be blank. I mean, some of these things have expenses every month.
Right. So, yeah, the blanks would be where they're not filled in. This is something we kind of spoke about, too. Many of the stations are still kind of on more of a cash basis. Like, revenue, you can understand if there's, you know, major gifts in this period and not in other periods. But expenses should be a little more constant. So there's probably some invoices that are getting entered only when they're being paid instead of in the month that it would be appropriate for them to be shown in the books. That's my thought on what's happening there.
Okay, well, I'm looking at WBI, which seems to have more, but I don't know. I haven't had a chance to look at all of them in detail. Like Tower, you mentioned the Tower rent. That's what kind of stood out. There's a lot of blank.
Yeah, and that would be if they get behind, so you'll see an empty month and then a couple of months. And then I think that there was a period of time where things weren't getting paid possibly because of whatever was going on with their tower. And that's where, you know, there may still be some.
Well, this is even FY19.
Especially, yeah, I see it in FY19 too. Because, yeah, we don't see, we're just recording what's happened after it's happened. So
okay.
In a normal accrual system, you would get the invoice and record the invoice and then pay it whenever cash flow is allowed. But you have the invoice and the expense recognized in the period that it belongs in. But what's happening is the expense is being paid and recorded only when it's being paid.
Do you think it's a issue of just not getting the information from the stations for some months, or do you think it's really not paid?
That would be the, in WBAI's case, in particular, there are definitely months where it is not paid in the proper month, and then it's two payments would be made in the next month. I would say in the other stations, I'm not sure how they're doing things, if they're just recording as they're paying or if they're putting in all their payables and then paying from that list. But that would be the normal recommended accounting process for that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Fred, you're next up.
Yes, Tamara, on the first version of this P&L, which we got about 3 weeks ago, I believe it was, we heard that the numbers from March to the end of the year were not actual numbers but projections. Are the numbers that are now in the P&L actuals for FY19?
Yes, these would all be actuals. Are you talking about for salaries in particular?
Well, income and income, yeah, salary. I mean,
okay.
any of the
yeah,
numbers.
Yeah, there's no estimates in here. So this will reflect what's been entered into Great Plains for the K stations and what's been entered by NETA for the W stations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Or Paul, do you have any more questions formulated at this juncture?
Well, I'm still looking at this, and yeah, I'm seeing these blanks. There was the cash flow, which we've discussed, which also had a lot of blanks, and I do wonder about exactly why I'm trying to look at this fast here. There's 1,500, 1,800, and 1,500, and then suddenly March is 14,003, and I don't know what that means, but and then the blanks after that.
Which line in particular are you looking at?
Okay, that was storage rental.
Okay.
We were paying storage through March?
I believe
it's consolidated
storage rental.
This is the BAI tab. We were paying storage through March because the general manager told us he'd stopped paying the storage bills long before that.
I believe they're still being paid, it looks like.
Being paid now?
So where you see blanks, if you see, like I believe I'm looking at FY19. Let me scroll up and just make sure. Yeah. So, like I see October, November, and then December is blank. January has what looks to be 2 months. February, March look like one. April is blank. The next one has 2 months, and then it's 168 each month after that. So I believe that expense is still being paid.
Is strange. All right, so regarding the, you brought up the tower rent at some point there. I had a question about what we were doing in that.
Well, just looking at the year over year, there's $500,000 in FY18 and $100,000 in FY19.
Yeah,
so I know that's something that someone else had mentioned. And so I think that's all related to some of the legal issues going on there.
That's kind of hard to understand because we
it is. Had already been, it's hard for me as well.
we had already been at 4 Times Square before this. And
yes.
So
it looks like they had in FY18, there were several months at the higher rate. It looks like they backed off maybe some accrued. I'm just going based on what I'm looking at and how I can logically imagine what may have happened is perhaps they backed out some accrued expense for that, for the prior year's rent, and then they put it back on. It looks very odd to me. So I don't know exactly what those transactions are, but we can certainly look into them and see if we can figure out what they were.
Yes, that would be good because you got $539,000 for FY18's tower rent when it should be a lot less than that. I mean, that's $539,000 is on the order pretty close to what Empire was, and we were out of Empire. We certainly were out of Empire by the end of FY18.
Right.
And,
yeah. The net of those two transactions is about $250,000. So unless there was some kind of, payout or something like that, which I'm not sure that this is the appropriate line to show that on, but definitely some odd.
For
right.
For FY19, you have it as $104,000, and that's a big coming down. That's much more than $400,000 less than
right.
FY18, and I don't know, this is confusing, because we have in April of FY18, $860,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the two transactions, or 2 months totals, that look very out of place to me, and then also that the first 4 months of FY19, there's no power expense.
So I guess you'll have to look into that because this looks strange on a big number.
And most of these I'm not going to know off the top of my head. There'll be some that I can probably answer, and the rest we'll have to look into, because it's just too many transactions from too many places to know. Also, we have only been involved for less than a year of this data.
All right, I'll have to show this to the local finance committee and the general manager. So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
To James on
all
the
right.
call.
Hey, James. We're in the middle of a discussion with Tamara. How long have you been there? You just pop on?
A couple minutes.
Okay.
It's Chris, it's Nick Arena. I'm also on the line. I've been on the line for about 15 minutes.
Okay, Nick. Thanks for chiming in. I appreciate it.
Chair Mansoor just got on. I didn't have the numbers in. I don't know. I've finally figured it out. So
okay.
I'm on.
Thanks, Mansoor. Okay. So I have some questions for Tamara. So looking over the 19 versus 18 numbers, it looks like most of the negative change, since the revenue was approximately the same, devolved to the salaries category, the personnel costs issues. And of that, about 2/3 of it is directly attributable to salaries increases. Running it down, for the whole organization, it was about $600,000 more for between 19 and 18. Running it down by station, it looks like there were basically no changes at the National Office and Pacifica Radio Archives. Two stations had significant increases, or at least I would say statistically significant increases. One would be WBAI, and the other one would be KPFK. KPFK actually looks like it had about $150,000 in salary increases.
I think it was actually about $250,000.
$250,000? Oh, you're right. I wrote over it.
$250,000.
Yep, I marked it up. You're right. And so that was the most significant one. And then BAI was $100,000, I guess. KPFA is about 50, KPFT is about 60, and then WPFW is about 40 below that. The rest of these costs kind of devolve to those personnel costs. There's an increase in FICA expenses of about $50,000, health benefits of about $100,000, pension benefits of about another $50,000. And I'm wondering, I guess I should ask the individual stations this question, unless you have any specific information on where the personnel increases came from in the case of PFK and WBAI and I guess KPFT in that order, since those were the three most marked increases. Do you know, or do I need to ask the individual stations to get that information?
I would say to ask them. I know that there was a termination that maybe caused some extra severance type payout for KPFK.
Okay.
I think KPFT was maybe without a GM, then finally got a GM, something of that nature. And then I'm not sure at BAI, but there may have been some union grievance type thing that may have caused salaries to go up. So just because you're seeing that increase, it may not be additional staff always. There may be other factors.
Okay. Yeah. Legal issues, severance issues, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess the only other question I had.
There was a severance.
It was a severance issue? Okay. Thanks, Oracle. In the case of just looking across the network, I noticed that with minor exceptions, there's a pretty noticeable decline in listener support on a per station basis. Was that your observation as well? I mean, were it not for the bequests and the high dollar value donor funding, it would have been a much worse event this fiscal year than it was. Is that your observation as well, or did you see it differently?
Yeah, no, that would make sense. It's listener support was down about $1 million, and then the overall revenue was up about $400,000. So, yeah, if they had not gotten – they got about $1.5 million more of major donor revenue overall than they did the prior year. So if they had not had that, then we would be looking at revenue numbers that were, you know, $1.5 million less than they are now. So they would have been looking at maybe $300,000 less than last year overall.
Got it. So, I'd be interested in knowing from the individual stations, not this isn't for this call. This will be for a later call. But I'm curious as to whether the individual stations did any outreach and development work in that department that drove those numbers, because that's a pretty impressive gain in that category. So, okay. Are there any more questions on the stack? Any of our newcomers?
Mansoor.
Bill, when it's time to have seconds.
Okay. Go ahead, Mansoor.
Sure. I do apologize, Tamer, for being late. If you have already spoken about this, you don't have to. I can listen back. But are you able to do a P&L for KPFK and the rest of the station at all?
Yes. Chris sent out a P&L for the entire organization. So there's a tab for each unit. So there's a tab for KPFK and a separate tab for each unit, and then a consolidated that rolls them all up.
And have you sent that one out to us?
Yeah, Chris sent it right before the meeting.
Oh, yeah, okay. That went out a quarter to four, I think. A quarter to whatever, an hour and a half ago.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'll check it out.
Okay.
Chris, this is Nick for the SPAC.
Sure. Go ahead, Nick. You haven't spoken yet.
This is just a question. Tamara, will you be joining the executive session, or is all your comments going to be in this open session?
I don't believe I'll be on the closed session unless you guys have a need for me to be.
Yeah, it wasn't my intention to have Tamara on the closed session.
Well, question, why not?
Well, okay. You would actually be the best person to answer that question. So if you really are asking it, then perhaps there isn't any reason. I take it you would like her to be there?
I think that would probably be unless there's something I'm not seeing, why there's a reason not to. I don't see the reason. Maybe somebody has a wonderful reason why not, but I don't see it.
Okay, that's fine. I don't have any objection to that idea at all, actually. If you have the time, Tamara, can you spare the extra hour tonight to do that?
It is a tough time for me because I have a 3-year-old that needs to do bath time, bedtime. So I'm sorry. If there is something of a sensitive nature that you need to ask me, you're welcome to email me and I'll respond, or call me directly tomorrow morning, or of course next week.
Okay.
Chris, this is Nick. Just to follow up on that.
Nick. Tamara,
I'd be happy to call you tomorrow morning with the questions I have, and they aren't necessary for you to miss your taking care of your child.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. We're actually out of time for this item at this juncture. So,
Chris,
Tamara, I really
say one more thing.
Sure. Please go right ahead.
Sure. I just wanted to make sure all of you knew that my contract for RCFO is up at the end of this month. And probably Pacifica's work will be reassigned to George Walter, who many of you have worked with. He's been handling the audits for Pacifica. Obviously, if you email me, I'll be glad to do what I can to help you and get the answers that you need. But I've enjoyed working with you guys, especially on the Finance Committee. And I just wanted to say that.
Okay. Since you made the statement about George, I did have one quick follow-on about that. So does George have the numbers he needs at this point to work through the audits?
I think so. There may be a very few things that he's still seeking, but as far as I know, I think he does have everything. And the last communication that I saw from the auditors was that they were pretty much ready to start working on a draft. And I know they were, looking for payment for some invoices.
What year draft?
FY18.
Okay.
Yeah.
And well, thank you very much. Are you not going to be with us at all, or it just mainly for us to hire you again?
No, I will still be at NETA and still kind of part of the team. I'll be around, but probably the bulk of the Pacifica work will transfer over to George, as they're kind of reassigning me elsewhere.
Oh, well, thank you very much for bearing with us. It's very hard to be on the Pacifica Circle.
Well, thank you.
I really appreciate your help. And I would be lost without you, Tamara. So I appreciate you keeping me as apprised as you possibly could, and it's been a pleasure working with you.
Well, thank you. You guys too.
All right, Bill, thank you.
Could
Bill,
we extend time 5 minutes? Because I do have a few more questions, and I thought somebody else did too. I was waiting until after the new people got to go, the people that joined late.
I don't have any objection to that. We would it would eat into your time unless for your motion unless we extend time for the entire meeting. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, how much time was for my motion? Forget it.
Well, right now we have 15 minutes. And it'll go down to 10 if we extend for 5.
Okay. Yeah, okay, because I have some drone questions I think are important.
Okay.
Okay, so first,
do we have any objection to extending for 5 minutes this item? Okay, hearing none, go ahead, Bill.
Okay, thanks. It's kind of a follow-up of what you were just talking about. You're talking about the stations, I mean, that I guess George or Rogers has all the information they need. I remember the last time, I think last month, you told us, I believe, that there were two stations you didn't have all the information for. Does that mean that that you do have everything needed then for the FY18 audit? Is that correct?
I think that is the case. I believe there were some pending items for KPFA, but I believe that those have been handled.
Okay. And then I also noticed there's some big differences between stations in the a contract, what's it called? Contract,
consulting line.
Those are 1099 people, I guess.
That's correct.
Mostly people that work at the stations.
Yes, mostly. Sometimes they could be outside vendors, like National Office has some expenses for computer consultants that helped with getting access to Great Plains when we have issues that things couldn't, no one in Pacifica knew how to fix. So that things of that nature would be there. I think there's some engineering folks that are not employees that are in that line. So it's a vast majority of things. And it's something that's coming under scrutiny that we're looking at who all the vendors are and what.
Yeah, because we need to make sure we're complying with IRS regulations. And
yes.
I was wondering I think at one time WBI and WPFW had some contract people doing accounting, but is that all being done by NEDA now?
WPFW still has an in-house person that acts basically as a business manager. So she does write the checks and handle all the financial things there at the station, and she sends the financial information to NETA to record into Great Plains.
Okay, that's for WFW. Okay.
Yes.
And then finally, you know, generally income statements, profit loss are made public. Is there any reason why we can't make this public?
Generally, audited financials are made public, not internal financials.
Well, in the past, we've done even others.
That's up to you, not up to me to decide.
Okay.
I would personally wait till the audited financials just because I don't know how much the audit entries may affect the FY18 numbers that are represented here. And it's so soon that we'll have it. But that's, again, not up to me.
Yeah, okay. Well, we can talk about that. I just hoping we could have later than the FY18 numbers, assuming they're mostly complete. But, okay, thank you. Appreciate all your
Nancy
help.
Here.
Hey, Nancy. Thanks for joining us.
Sorry, I got delayed getting on.
I'm done with my question.
No problem. Was that it, Bill?
Yes, thank you.
Sure. Nancy, we were just discussing the P&Ls that I sent out about an hour and a half ago. So when you get the chance, review those. And if you have questions for Tamara, you're welcome to contact her directly.
Okay. Thanks, Tamara.
Thank you.
All right. That concludes the ICFO discussion. Thank you very much, Tamara. I appreciate you being here. And you're free to go attend to your 3-year-old.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
All right. Good night. Bill, do you want to read your motion?
Okay. Wait, let me find it again. Just let me a minute. Back to my email.
Okay. Okay.
The terminal when I sent it again. This is the same one we had last month or last meeting.
I can read it.
Okay, you go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right.
Thank you.
So,
thanks.
All right, the motion is the NFC recommends to the PNB that whereas when a station repeatedly cannot cover its own payroll and employee benefits and needs the rest of Pacifica to pay those expenses, it creates a significant problem for Pacifica, and whereas using central services funds that are needed for critical expenses to instead cover expenses at an individual station thereby makes funds not available for those critical expenses, and whereas when Pacifica does not have central services funds for paying for accounting, HR, audits, pension, administration, Pacifica radio archives, and other needs, the foundation risks financial collapse and failure to get audits completed and loss of its tax exemption. Therefore, be it resolved that when a station needs the rest of Pacifica to cover its payroll and or employee benefits and or other expenses and does not pay those funds back before the second payroll cycle that follows, it shall lay off employees or cut other expenses to the extent necessary for it to be able to pay its own expenses, but with the exception that this provision may be suspended by a vote of the PNB in cases of natural disaster.
All right, Bill, would you like to motivate the motion?
Okay, thank you. Well, again, we've had, as we were just talking about, reductions in revenue at all stations, and funds are tight, and we really need to take some actions to make sure that our expenses are not exceeding revenues. And when any organization gets to the point where they can't cover their own payroll or benefits, then, I mean, almost universally the thing to do is cut expenses. Usually that's payroll. Sometimes you can do it other ways, and this motion would allow either one, but it would allow us to try to get things under control. And also point out, an employee handbook also requires that, and I believe the law requires that layoffs be done when you don't have enough money to pay people. And so this would essentially allow for stations to take two additional pay periods to catch up if they need to borrow money for something, but they would expect to be able to pay their own expenses, and that's what this motion's for. Hope that explains it. Thank you.
All right, Bill. So we're running short on time here, I'm gonna take one for in addition to Bill's motivation, and two against on this for discussion. Is there anybody who would like to speak against the motion?
Our Paul.
Go ahead, our Paul.
Yes, taking this in the spirit of October 7th, this is a motion that's a lot of rhetoric. It's a great deal of rhetoric and not much reality to it. I mean, the fact is, okay, you say, and you will have to cut, cut your expenses. What if you can't really cut the expenses? What if you already have, I mean, obviously this is directed at one particular station. What if that particular station is already on a skeleton, less than a skeleton crew, because it had to cut 75% of its people years ago? You know, there comes a point at which when you start to cut the final few people, everything begins to fall apart rapidly. I don't know, maybe that's the goal of this motion, to make things fall apart rapidly or more rapidly. But I see it as either it has no teeth and it's pure rhetoric, or it's an attempt to make things worse. So I think we should all vote against this motion. It really doesn't do anything useful.
Okay, thanks, Art Paul. Is there anybody who would like to speak to the motion? If not, I'll let Bill have a second segment. Nobody? Okay. Go ahead. You can respond to that, Bill, and then I'll take a second against.
Well, thank you. Well, this is basically, it says what we do, what any other organization would do, is if you can't cover your own payroll and expenses, you have to cut expenses. This is not just rhetoric. This is realistic. If you don't have the revenue, you've got to cut your expenses. We can't keep running deficits indefinitely, and it's creating a really big burden on the rest of the network. We don't have reserves because, again, as I was just saying, revenue's down everywhere. And it's not just in Pacifica. Other public radio stations are hurting also. We're competing with presidential candidates and other people that are asking for donations, and we're just not getting as much. And we need to take steps, or frankly, Pacifica is not going to survive another year. We were warned by this by our CFO about a couple of months ago, and we and that cash flow forecast, and she was talking about around $1 million or more in deficits for FY 2020. That's this year, this fiscal year. And when we take funds from central services that are intended and needed for really critical expenses like our accounting and audits and pension and insurance and stuff like that, we're putting ourselves in really serious circumstances. So we need to control expenses. That's what this is about. It's clearly on that rhetoric. It still allows some flexibility. It doesn't have to all come from payroll, perhaps, and it may vary from station to station. And again, it allows for exceptions in case of an emergency, a natural disaster, and it allows for stations to take two more payroll periods to pay money back if they have to borrow it. But we got to do something to get things under control. Thank you.
Okay. Any more? Can we have one more against? Is there somebody out there who would like to speak against the motion?
I'll speak against if there's no one else. James?
Go ahead, James.
Yeah, a few things. First of all, it says, Bill just said, this is what any organization does when they can't meet their expenses. Right. But this motion says whenever a station has a difficulty, then the station has to do it. Not the organization, but that particular station. Again, echoing our Paul, this is directed at a particular station. Also, I would say that, repeating what our Paul said, we've been cut to the bone so many times, it's ridiculous. I think it's pretty well known that there's enough dead wood lying around this network that we wouldn't have to go necessarily to the same station that's already having trouble to find further layoffs. There are other ways we can cut expenses. And then finally, I would say that this ignores, as their actions did in New York when they came in the early morning and yanked us off the air, that when you do things like that, you cause damage that can be far worse than any savings that you gain out of such an action. For example, okay, yeah, we're going to lay off people. Then what about the severance expenses? What about the unemployment expenses? What about all the expenses that go with that? What about the expenses of somehow having to make up for what people who were laid off were doing? So this is imprudent. It's a repeat of what they tried to do on October 7th, and I think it should be rejected by everyone out of hand. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, James. Right. So I would like to not deliberate this any further since we're almost out of time, and proceed directly to voting on it. So, Mr. Secretary, if you could take the roll on this issue, I'm assuming that there's opposition to it based on the third, and so we'll take a vote here.
Okay. On the motion that was read, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Yes.
Nick Arena.
No.
Fred Blair.
No.
Chris Corey.
Pass.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Lyndon Foley.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin? No. Mansoor Sabah?
Yes.
James Sagerton?
No.
Nancy Sorden?
No.
Tamara Swiderski, and she isn't here now. All right, going back, Chris Corey.
I believe it's five against and four right now. Is that correct, Arpal?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. I'm going to abstain then.
Okay, it's 4-4, five against, one abstention.
Okay. So we are at 5:30, which is time certain to go to executive session.
You should announce the disposition of the motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. The disposition of the motion is that it fails. I guess we need to be taken off the stream. Once again, my lack of familiarity with moving to closed session is going to show right now. Is that correct?
Yes. It's Fred here.
Okay.
I'll cut the stream now.